car. Chicks dig the car.
This is why Superman works alone.
Good to see you all among the living. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talon Mix. We're not talking about Smallville. Zach, sing the song.
No, 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 not Smallville.
That's it. That's
and
it.
And luckily,
Zach,
not Batman v Superman anymore.
Can I be real, Zach? That movie, but I have not gone back to edit it. It's currently that recording file is untouched at the moment. I have not had the will to I don't even think it's that bad. I think it's more concise than our Dark Knight episode.
Oh, for sure.
I don't think it's a bad episode of our podcast. That movie bummed me out on movies. I won't say I didn't watch any movies, because I don't think I've gone a week without watching a movie in a long time. But like, it's not just they're like, oh man, maybe I am losing steam on Batman movies. It was, I'm maybe losing steam on cinema as an art form, if that's what it can do. Like,
I do just remember after seeing it in the theater, just feeling bummed afterwards, not upset. Just nope. Like bummed out, deep
and
rest.
To be clear, what was our hypothetical straw man who loved
Keith,
Batman v
Keith,
that's what I thought. Keith, not because of anything the art did. Just
no, it
state
wasn't
of film.
It wasn't so effective that it
right no. Killers of the Flower Moon bummed me out. That's not what I'm talking about.
No, that movie, it's a bummer, but it's also an exhilarating piece of filmmaking.
Right.
I didn't want to go burn all my Blu-rays after I watched Killers of the Flower Moon.
Just actually left me in a worse spot. Like, I'm a worse person for having watched it again.
You know, it's funny. You've only seen that movie both times you saw it were because of me.
Both times I saw it.
I'm the architect of all your pain, as a James Bond villain once said.
Honestly, my life is thankfully pretty blessed that Batman v Superman is like a low point. But make no mistake, it's a low point.
And I keep bringing you back to it. One day I'm going to get you to watch it a third time. I don't know how or why.
I don't remember if I said this last week, but my wife at one point was like, I was talking about how we're doing the ultimate cut, the R-rated edition of Batman v Superman. And my wife was in the car and was like, why do you love like causing yourself pain? Like, why do you do this? I'm like, this one wasn't even my idea. This was Zach's idea. Zach is the one usually going like, let's not do that. That sounds bad.
Because we can't let anyone say to us, well, you watched the bad cut. That's why you didn't like it.
So we podcasted out our giant court case to nobody. We played ourselves. We played
Brian,
ourselves.
One day you and I will record an audio commentary for that movie. And
yes. Okay. I'm back on board. I am back on board. I'm
gonna
try to
get you out
of commentaries forever.
We're gonna run out of fucking steam. I usually don't love the commentary. I will listen to a commentary, like a podcast commentary, but I won't actually sync it up or anything because it's just people talking, about whatever. But oftentimes they're like, "Oh, this doesn't make any sense." It's like, yeah, because you're fucking talking while you're watching it. It doesn't.
Where I think a Batman v Superman podcast commentary would potentially be interesting to a listener of our show is to hit the exact point we just want to end it all. Like, just see how quickly we bounce off of this shit.
Have you like hooked up to like some hospital machinery just like when you start flatlining?
It's, oh God, it's awful. It's a, that's how bad it is. It's spilled. How many times is like a conversation spilled over into the next week?
And to be just like one more time, it's not even close to one of the worst movies ever, but it might have bummed me out more than almost any other movie.
And it's, I'm sure I said that it's all blank. I've really vacuumed it out of my brain. It would be, it would serve more value. It would have more value to me if it was a worse movie.
100%.
Because 100%. I do think, I've tried to explain this before to someone who was like, you like bad movies. I'm like, I do like bad movies. But as someone who's interested in movies, movies are my hobby. They are my number one hobby. You can't break apart Jaws and see the pieces, right? That movie just works. So yeah. A bad movie is the equivalent of smashing a clock with a hammer and just like putting it back together and seeing the pieces and seeing how it works. A bad movie helps you do that.
Right.
And I think that's a large part of the appeal for me of a shitty movie. And I love a shitty movie. I don't love Batman v Superman.
Not shitty enough for Brian.
No, it's a fully start again. Throw if Batman v Superman hit our desk, our completely no credits.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No one's banging down our door desk. It'd be throw this out. We're starting over. This is irredeemable.
It's like we're like the awful studio note where it's like the movie's called Batman v Superman, and we're like, can we do it where they don't fight each other? Can Batman and Superman not fight?
Or like wrap it up real fucking fast. Yeah, or they make have anything. Some tension. Or actually make tension. Anything happen in the movie. That's. You know, it's, I'm not saying The Avengers is great fucking cinema, right? The 2012 one. But like, they're going to team up. But like, there's all like, oh, we don't get along. That all is makes a movie go.
I feel like someone should have or probably did say the problem with a movie like this is you can't have Batman and Superman fight without either one or both of them being an asshole or one or both of them are under mind control. Those are your only choices, unless it's like a misunderstanding at first that they quickly, once they figure out.
Or bringing up the reality that Superman can just like flick him with his finger.
We can't talk about this anymore. Sorry. It's not really Batman v Superman. It's Batman. It's like Superman like stands there and lets Batman beat him up while he tries to talk him out of it.
I hate that fucking movie, dude. So Zach, I hate that movie so much. Let me pitch you the theatrical follow-up to Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. And I want your honest reaction to this. Here's the thing. Batman, let's do a comedy. Where's that race? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. People weren't crazy the last time we did a comedy, quote fingers, called Batman and Robin. But let's tell me more.
Let's do a big comedy. It's going to be produced by Lord and Miller, who are potentially interesting. Also,
they just got hired to do Solo, so yeah, that's going to be.
It's coming. By the way, yeah, they're coming off of the Lego movie. This is going to be specifically a tie into Legos, and Batman's going to be a Lego, and it's going to be a little Lego city.
Okay.
Any thoughts? Okay. Any opinions there? I think this is a winner.
Well, look, I didn't see the Lego movie. I'm sure it's fantastic, but it made a lot of fucking money. So
So obviously we're talking about, I think
that's where they're like, okay, we'd like money.
Right. That's the thing. We're talking about it is, I keep calling it Lego Batman. It is the Lego Batman movie. This is, what year? 2017. And it's a movie we both agree is pretty good, despite that insane log line. The cynical corporate logline.
Yes,
it's pretty good. It's just pretty good. It's a lot of fun. And I'm not saying it's great. I don't think it's not going to be in my like nominations for, I think, best, but just a breath of fresh air comparatively.
Yeah, I was going to say, talk about a glass of water in the fucking desert, man. Flatlining and someone just did the fucking clear on us with Lego Batman.
It brought me back on board of like, oh, right, I do like Batman.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, well, you just mentioned the awards that are upcoming.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we were trying to figure out what to do with the Kevin Conroy situation. I think we do best live action Batman and best Bat voice. That way we get Will Arnett in there, we get Kevin Conroy, and then you can also get live action guys for the specifically the voice.
Honestly, I was feeling shaky as you were beginning to lay this out, and I should have trusted you, because when we got to the end there, I was like, ooh. I was like, best animated, best live action. I'm like, Zach, that's cheap. That's bad. I don't know how I feel about it. I think it feels kind of
No. Yeah, you know, just a thought.
It's a good thought.
Because we definitely have to do best Bat voice, period. Because
we definitely have to do best Bat.
That is this very specific part of these movies, is what does the actor choose to do when he's being Batman?
And I think, ooh, that's really good, because it opens up some things in a lot of different, like...
Right. Like Christian Bale, who is in the running probably in the top two or three for best Batman, period, might not be on the nominees for best voice.
Right. It's
like, he probably is. He's like that nominee where everyone's like, it's controversial, you know, just because it made such an impact. It's got to be there.
I think that's a good note, because I think it cracks open the nut of the conversation we want to have there.
Yes. Yes.
It's good. It's really
excellent.
Good.
All right.
So this is our second feature length animated Batman movie. And I think the way it comes about is pretty interesting. So basically, you had pointed it out a couple of years prior. I want to say 2015. Maybe 2014, the Lego movie comes out. The Lego movie is directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, and they have a bit of a reputation for taking something that you hear the log line and go like, how the fuck is that going to work? And putting out a pretty good movie. I am a fan of theirs. And I remember...
Well, the 21 Jump Street was the other movie you're referring to, right? The where it's like this.
I'm referring to that. Rat. I'm referring to Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Okay, I've never seen that one.
It's but 21 Jump Street and 22
was a huge fan, still am, of 21 Jump Street.
So Emily and I watched it reasonably recently. It's great. Holds up great. It's very
so
good.
So good. I wasn't as crazy about the second one, but I only saw it the once in theaters. But 21 Jump
Street. It's a sequel, but it's those characters again. It's more good jokes.
For sure, yeah. But 21 Jump Street, absolutely wonderful film.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, I remember the storybook was one that was in rotation in my house. And so like when they were doing that, it was a little like, there's no story there. There's no story there. There's not enough there for a fucking movie. And they did something wonderful with it. I have not seen it in a while, but at the time, I think it rivals Ghostbusters for like funniest PG movie. I would say funniest kids movie I had ever seen. At least
let me ask you something that's a little off topic, but not really. If you could pick one sort of mythical movie, meaning a movie that exists, maybe kind of, but they're never going to let you see it, would it be Solo, A Star Wars Story, the Lord and Miller version?
You know, I think so. I think Tim Burton's Batman 3 would be up there as well.
Oh, yeah. See, but that's one that they didn't film, right?
That's
they actually
true.
Filmed Solo. Like, I'm talking that's movies true. That, like, there's, like, the, okay. you know, the mythical there's director's cut.
There's
of,
a cut here. Got it.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a few movies like that that have, you know, they lost the footage or something like that.
Yeah. But it's got to be Solo.
Because I love the movie Solo. You also really like it. We've said that many times, defenders of it.
We are. But I want to know. The internet thinks we are. No one's talked to because we are nobodies, but like we have the hottest take that Solo good, Rogue One bad.
Yeah. Solo very good.
Solo yes. very good. Rogue One very bad.
Solo way I'm better at least
very
than
bad.
Rogue
I don't
One.
Know if you're I don't know if you're very bad on Rogue
One. I'm moderate on Rogue One, but I think Solo is 10 times better than Rogue.
10 times.
I think Solo is so good. But these are two incredibly talented filmmakers, and what they were doing upset or frightened the powers that be so much that they fired these motherfuckers when they had shot 70% of the movie and it was right. coming out in a few months.
Right.
And it they was reshot the whole fucking thing.
And like, and I will say, maybe they were right. Maybe it wasn't working and they really saved a disaster. God, maybe. I want to see it though.
Oh, there's no way it's a disaster. I don't think. What I think is it's probably just the tone was so. I mean, they have a specific tone. Right.
Right. It's it so was, I.
It's I not wanna... like a Star Wars. That doesn't fit in what you're doing in the Star Wars movies. Maybe with like a Star Wars cartoon or something. Lego right. Star Wars, the movie.
I think there was also a Lord and Miller are comedy guys, right? I believe they were, I don't quote me on this, I believe they were like showrunners of How I Met Your Mother for a little while, or at least head writers, but very comedy focused, a very comedy focused duo. And apparently they, as is kind of popular in comedy of the era, their sets are very loosey-goosey. It's a very like, we'll find it, like we're going to shoot a lot of shit and then we'll find it in the edit. Right. Which is very popular at the time. I don't think that's as popular right now, but it was at the time because comedies also went away. I think they came to Star Wars with that, and Disney was like, what is happening? What are you doing? Why are you doing it this way? Stop doing it this way.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I guess they assumed you'd seen one of their movies before.
Right. Yeah, it does, you know, doing 20 takes of something costs a lot more when you're making a Star Wars movie.
That's also very true. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But, and also I know Lawrence Kasdan was not happy because they were improvising and changing a lot of his lines. And
I also assume he would be weird about the tone.
Yes. Oh, for sure. For sure.
Which, you know what, Kasdan, and I, you know, I fucking love Empire. Everyone fucking loves Empire. We fucking know. That's not a necessarily a condemnation nor a, like,
it's, right.
I could see Kasdan not getting it.
It was just a matter of, like, this is something you need to figure out before you get 70% of the way through the movie.
Right. Especially like it also like kept happening to them. Everyone's beloved fucking Rogue One. He got fired. He got yes. full credit on it, but he got fired.
Oh, no, it was drastically. Tony Gilroy came in and drastically redid it.
Right. Yep.
And then someone else got fired. Oh,
Trevorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's the one that I'm like, yeah, fuck him. Get him out of here. but not that movie came out good. Maybe not. Maybe not.
No, I bet it would have been better, but probably not. It would have been better. But not good.
Not by a lot.
From people who've read the script, he sounds like Trevorrow was yes-anding both the previous movies instead of the no, fuck that, that J.J. Abrams did.
Not even like... No, fuck that. Like, no, fuck that would be more interesting than just like, sorry, sorry, sorry. Were you mad? Sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Are you happy? Do you like this?
Please, do you like this?
Do you like this?
Are you mad at this, please? Which I don't think J.J. Abrams is happy with that movie, to be clear. I don't think that's... I think that is a company man coming in and be like, all right, fuck, I'll take care of it. I will get this to its release day.
The idea of the... They knew. They had to have known, and they still did it because they had that fucking release date. And they, you know, the
Which
Happy Meals.
It's not. I promise we'll get to Lego Batman at some point. It's a good movie. We were just talking, like, I don't have that much to say, but it's just a pretty good movie. So, it's not like, you know, hey, just bump the movie, get it right. Of course. But, like, your toy line is set with this.
Yes.
So, the toy lines all have to bump. Your video game, your apps, your fucking Star Wars napkins are all...
There's a reason they didn't bump Solo, even though they fired the directors with a couple months to go.
Right. It's all tied into these fucking release dates.
Yeah.
It's these huge, massive machines. They don't move easily. That's where it happens. So that's where it's... they just give J.J. Abrams, who's still attached as a producer to these, of like a lot of money to just be like, get this to the finish line. And was like, will it be good? Who cares?
Right. We need something to put in theaters.
Put it on the fucking screen. We can fix it later. And they're not wrong.
It's been a while since we took a Star Wars diversion. That was fun.
For us. I think we've got an entire fucking Batman. It took still the Lego Batman movie to talk about Star Wars.
What's that? No, Keith, get away from that vault. Doctor Strange 2 is in there. Keith, get away from that vault. It's... We're not talking about Doctor Strange 2. I'm putting my foot down.
We're not, but since you bring it up, no. I do have to bring it out of the vault seriously for a second. I recently subscribed to YouTube. He opened it. So now I get permission to talk about it. I recently subscribed to YouTube TV. I'm in the suburbs now. I'm like, I guess I kind of need a cable equivalent. And it was on TV, and I watched 20 minutes of it and went, this is bad. And I stopped.
Look, again, I've never finished. I've watched half of it for free, and I was like, no thank you.
There's some Sam Raimi bits at the end, kind of, but it's not.
But it's a horror movie, right?
Oh, of course, yes. It should have been an R-rated movie for adults, because it's horror. It's a horror movie. Sorry, Keith got under my microphone.
Keith, God, he loves his R-rated movies, Keith. He thinks that makes them better. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
Change the code to the vault, please.
It doesn't have a code. It just has a big sort of like chunk, ka-chunk. I will retrofit a code onto this thing.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So I'd love to go back and talk about Lord and Miller, who once again directed not the Lego Batman movie, but the Lego movie. I think they have a style that I would describe as very, very joke forward. Jokes are a absolute kind of priority, but in no way at the expense of characters, character growth, and a solid story circle.
Right.
Does that make sense? Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Well, the movie never slows down for the jokes, right?
Right. Right. I don't think any of their movies do. And it's, but we're still going to hit, like, this is very silly. There will be jokes. We will not be taking this seriously, quote unquote, but the characters are, and the characters will have legitimate growth. And I think that is a balance that has always really spoken to me. It's very community-esque. Just story and jokes almost are on equal footing.
And they certainly have, at least in the 21 Jump Street and the Lego Batman, it's very the meta thing is there, right? The self-referential.
Right. So in the Lego movie, Zach, you said you haven't seen it. I think you would like it.
Oh, I'm sure I would.
It's too many movies. There's just too many. Make less movies.
Only make the good ones. How about that?
Only make good ones, actually. Or the bad ones.
Or the really bad ones. Yeah.
No, tell you what. If you can raise $1 million, you can make whatever. But let me see inside your brain a little bit. But so in the Lego movie, which is actually Lego movie, similarly, very, very good, I think. There is a bit in there where the main character played by Chris Pratt meets the cool, sexy fighter lady who's a little Lego lady, don't get me wrong, played by Elizabeth Banks. And then, she has a boyfriend. Oh, bummer. Boyfriend. The boyfriend is Batman. And it's like, oh, no, the boyfriend's Batman. is very funny.
how long is he in the movie? Because I didn't see the movie, but I remember hearing that Batman was funny in it.
I would... A significant enough amount where I could see a corporate person going, spinoff.
I assume it was Will Arnett.
Yes, it was. It's this character. I would say I have no idea the actual screen time. Feels like a significant character in the Lego movie. If we're doing Justice League, we could do... a Lego movie. Not a main character, but I would put him on the tier under. Part of the team that does the good guy thing.
Gotcha.
And it's all good. It's all funny. And I can definitely see why the people in suits went, we could do a whole fucking Lego Batman movie.
People like Batman? So they, people like Legos?
People liked this fucking movie that made a bajillion dollars. and so they did it, which is, we talked about previously how you can, from a boardroom level, it reminds me of Barbie. This is a pure cynical branding effort.
Right.
But if you get talented people in there who want to do something with it, you can still make a pretty good movie.
You know, a lot of the best movies ever made are that, right?
You are correct.
A remake of something, some TV show, The Fugitive.
Yes.
The Jaws. Let's get this trashy bestseller. And
right.
You know?
Right.
The Godfather.
Right. Absolutely. Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy is still just make a Batman movie. Can I make it good? Yeah, sure. If you can get it on time.
Can I make it good? We'll see.
Yeah. right. So the this movie is directed by Chris McKay. Who was the assistant animation director on the Lego movie.
Was he a Community guy?
I think I actually got it. I have mixed up Chris McKay, director. No, Chris McKay, directed a lot of Robot Chicken, which makes sense. Chris McKenna, who wrote the screenplay, is a Community guy.
Okay, gotcha.
Which, so it all, two Chris's with Mick names,
yes,
that I have merged into my head in our previous conversation that was off air. But so the guy who wrote the screenplay, a Dan Harmon Community guy, director, a Robot Chicken guy. And this is the director McKay's feature directorial debut. His follow-ups will not be as well received.
What are the follow-ups?
Let's see. He directed The Tomorrow War with Chris Pratt. That was an Amazon Prime film,
I remember. I believe. I didn't see it, but I remember. Did he just have one that came out that wasn't well-received?
Yes, and God, I'm pulling it up on Letterboxd because I can't remember what it is. It was Renfield.
Ah, yes. I didn't see that either because I did not
enjoy it. It was one of those movies where my wife and I were watching it and we're on the couch and I'm having a moment where I'm not enjoying this movie, but like I don't want to be a buzzkill if my wife is. And eventually I just am like, hey, you know, not be, if you're into it, I'm game to talk about it. Like, what's it? I do not like this. This is not good. And so my wife just goes, I hate this. We try to be like, you know, kind of like save it for the end. Save it for the end.
I love that about it. It's great. Good for you guys. Very respectful of each other's experience.
But
you know what's the worst is when you are like in the theater or you're having that experience with someone where you're both watching the movie and you think you're both on the same page and you get out of the theater and you're like, whew, that was shit. And they're like, oh, that was the best movie I've ever seen. And you're like, oh no, what?
It's, do you agree with me here? And I think this is a problem with human nature. If I'm like, I liked a movie and someone else is like, it was bad and dumb. My immediate response is, you're smarter than me and I'm dumb for liking it. I'm dumb and you think I'm dumb.
I mean, I have felt that before. It depends on the movie probably, but also when I was younger, like, and you're younger, you assume you just don't get it. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
I guess I just don't get it. I'm an idiot.
Sure. Right. God, I forget Dune. Dune was what my wife and I were just talking about of like, I'm not mad at it. I'm glad it looks great. It looks like you spent a lot of money on it. People who like it really like it. I'm so stoked for them. I can just fully admit, and it's okay. I know it's like a nerd and hard sci-fi property. So I feel like I'm kind of putting like a nerd card on the table here. It's like, I don't fucking get the big deal with Dune.
No.
I don't fucking get it. I don't like it.
You and I are on the same page, I think, about Dune.
Yeah.
Looks great. Dialogue is pretty rough.
Which, I mean, you know, it's like,
obviously. You know, I think what it is, people just miss big fucking movies like that, that feel big, where you can see the money on the screen.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Love that. Why does a Marvel movie cost a bajillion dollars and look like shit? They look like shit.
I think that was my Letterboxd review of Dune 2, which is like, I'm not crazy about it, but like, how can this movie look so fucking good and other movies look so fucking bad? I don't understand.
Is Chris Hemsworth costing that much to do that? Money not well spent.
No.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of any other interesting. The cast here is great. Will Arnett is carrying over from the Lego movie. Let's see. Lego Batman kind of existed as a brand and property before this. It is the Lego Batman movie. There were video games. The Lego video games are obviously very popular. And there was, like, I think they made 3 Lego Batman video games.
I played some of them.
Yeah, I did too. And I remember them being fun and funny. So I think we're playing in a little bit to that. It wasn't just like, ding, great idea. Let's make a Lego. Lego Batman existed. I don't know how true to like this iteration it is, but.
So can I take a quick digression here into Lego talk?
I would love to talk about Legos.
I think every person has something that they're jealous of the generation after them that they got to have that you didn't have when you were a kid.
Sure. Sure.
For me, it's branded Lego tie-ins.
Oh, sure.
I loved Batman. I loved Star Wars and I loved Legos, but the three never met in any way until I was an adult. I used to build Star Wars Legos on my own. That didn't look like Star Wars.
Just good enough. Just good enough.
And now today, oh my gosh, I would have had so many Star Wars and Batman Legos. It's insane. It's insane.
Right.
They left all that money on the table for all those years.
All of little Zach's fucking pocket change. They would have had it. Idiots. They would have had it.
They would have had so many people's money for so long. Not that they're hurting, but
not that they're hurting.
That is, I'm actually actively jealous of kids today, to the point where sometimes I buy these things and build them and don't play with them because I'm an adult, but I just to be around them.
I kind of want to spoil the Lego movie for you. We'll do it off air. We'll do it off air. I'm going to tell you the whole deal of the Lego movie, but I was not that into Lego as a kid. We had them. We liked them. Our neighbors who, you know, practically grew up just over there all of the time at our neighbor's house. Their basement was full of Legos, just absolutely couldn't. There was more Lego than carpet, you know? And I never followed the instructions to build the things. And then they always liked to build their own, what they called them bases. And they liked to build bases and have their little bases fight. I was always more interested in picking up the little guys. I believe minifigs is the official Lego term. Loved little Lego guys. Didn't care for
architecture.
Yeah. Which kind of goes, I think, to, I always preferred I don't know about you, I didn't want a vehicle. I didn't want a Batmobile. I wanted a Batman action figure. I could pretend the Batmobile. That's fine. I can't do anything with the Batmobile.
You needed both, certainly.
I would gun to my head.
I guess what I mean is, if you have the action figure, you can play. But if you just have the Batmobile, you can't do much.
That's where, yes. I would be, Batman can kind of go do whatever, meet Raphael, and hang out and fucking party.
Right, yeah.
Which is what my action figures did, and then would turn out to be a pretty successful comic book series and a shitty movie that I'm tired of people saying is a good movie. It's not. We're going to do it one day. It's not good.
There's a lot of DC animated shit.
There's a lot of DC animated shit, and I don't like any of it. Zach, it's not good. They're not good. I'm not talking about the Bruce Timm stuff. I'm not talking about the... you know, Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Justice League. I'm talking about these direct-to-video movies, sort of broadly based on comic arcs that they just pump out a couple a year. They're all with, celebrity, vague celebrity, genre celebrity casting.
I've seen a few that are not bad.
There must be a few that are not bad. I haven't seen most of them,
but I've also turned off a few. I've turned off a few.
Just limp dick shit. I'd love to talk about the main cast here in the Lego Batman movie. There's not a lot here where, we looked at this person and then we looked at this person. Zach Galifianakis is the Joker. Sure. Great. Yeah. It's an animated movie. Yeah. We're looking for names here. Michael Cera is Robin. We get an actual, Batman and Robin story.
The best one we've seen yet.
Probably the best one we've seen yet. Rosario Dawson is here. Ralph Fiennes is here. Those are the main ones. There's tons of two, three line little cameos. We'll try to get through those in the recap.
So Ralph Fiennes is playing Alfred. Does he also voice Voldemort? I assume he does.
He does not.
Oh, he does not. Wow.
Someone else is Voldemort.
That's wild. Was he just no, absolutely not?
I don't know. I don't know.
Or they were just too afraid to ask him.
Right. He probably would have asked for more money. Even though, despite the fact that it could have been done in the same booth, there's whoever is Voldemort in this fucking movie was probably doing something else, was nearby. Right. It was do you want to come
it's
in?
It's 5 minutes of work. It's five minutes.
Five fucking minutes. Chris McKay said he was looking at both The Naked Gun and Airplane as main inspirations for this movie. That kind of checks out. I think this movie has significantly more character heart, that Lord and Miller solid ground of like, we're going to tell a Batman story here, you know, very broad strokes, but like, yeah, we're going to,
that's the kid's movie of it all. Right. But in terms of the joke a minute or joke a second, it's definitely very Zucker Brothers in its DNA.
Very, very much. Except better than anything they did in the blank movie.
Besides those two movies we just mentioned.
Yes. So how about we dive into the recap?
Yes. Yes. I'm chomping at the bit.
Okay, so our wiki here starts out with, within the DC superhero dimension of the Lego multiverse, which is a little much.
Of course someone is thinking about that somewhere.
Right. And like, the Lego movie has kind of that element where they're kind of like hopping universes, but like, it, like this movie, has a very, there is an in-universe reason for the multiverse in the Lego movie. But all three movies, the Lego movie, the Lego Batman movie, Lego movie 2, all have kind of the vibe, the loose vibe of a childlike whimsy of people playing with Lego, of kids playing with Legos. That is very exciting here. And this, and you feel it kind of whenever you see a plane, and like, if the plane is shooting something, you hear pew, 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 pew.
Right. Yeah.
It's very playing with Legos vibe that I think is really fun. The movie opens up, I think, really, really strong. I think the opening sequence here is fantastic. I think it kind of makes a joke out of the Chris Nolan, like, all important movies begin with black.
I
think
the logos, it's very Nolan.
I remember being in the theater not sure how this was gonna go, and just getting such a genuine good laugh immediately and feeling like, okay, this is gonna be a very good time.
You know what's funny? We showed up late to the movie, so we missed that part. And I just saw that for the first time during the rewatch, and I was like, funny. Oh, man, that's so good.
So Batman protects Gotham City and fights crime. During his latest mission to stop the Joker and his team of villains from destroying the city, Batman succeeds, but also hurts the Joker's feelings by telling him he is not as important in his life as he thinks he is, leading the Joker to seek payback. This opening sequence is, I think the whole thing, it's, you get a sense of like, okay, this is a very expensive looking animated movie. This is not cheap. It looks good.
It looks so good. I was blown away by how it looked. The colors, the
framing of it. It's so, and the way this is consistent with the style of the Lego movie. But the way this is a digitally animated movie, but the way it looks stop motion takes a minute to get used to, but I think is really textured and really nice.
It looks like Legos, man.
Because it would have been so easy to not. I think there are a bunch of kids' TV series that I'm sure are not like, that are just getting the job done. But to really take the care to make it as much as possible look like someone playing with Legos.
Yes.
While still remaining, I think it's the perfect balance. I think it is playful. I think it is textured. I think it is very well done. Were there any jokes in this sequence that made you laugh? There's a couple for me where there's a plane. It's going over Gotham. They mentioned like, we have a bunch of cartoonish bombs in here. And that's the play. It's this scene, this opening set piece is very reminiscent of the Nolan movies with a big airplane set piece. Joker comes in to the plane. He's going to hijack the plane. And he proceeds to list all of the villains he's working with. And he lists a whole bunch of deep cut villains. And one of the pilots is, did you make some of those up? It's like, nope, they're all real.
Yeah, and Kite Man, enough, right?
Yep, the Condiment King.
Kite Man is actually a major character on the Harley Quinn cartoon show. Which I highly recommend. Delved
into that, yeah.
It's very funny. It's very funny.
I'll check it out. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's something we can do on like a Patreon thing.
Yeah, I would love to watch it.
Great. There's a joke here about Vincent Price's Eggman from the 60s. There's an Eggman who it's very Vincent Price in the 60s.
Was he on the show?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. As Eggman.
Throwing eggs at people.
That's it. We also get it's so hard to contain every moment of this in the wiki because this movie moves a mile a minute, maybe to its detriment towards the middle. There's a sagging point in the middle here. Big time. I think I wish this movie's an hour, 45 minutes. I would love this movie to swap runtimes with Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I was going to. We have to compare it to the other animated movie.
Right, right.
Right, even though they're so fucking different.
They're so fucked. They're not the same at all, but they are in this weird ballpark together.
But that is my one point of contention here is the runtime. I mean, Mask of the Phantasm is a perfect runtime for an animated movie.
It's so good, but man, a part of me, I can't help it. This might be controversial. I don't know if I said it then. I wouldn't mind a couple of extra minutes for some bits.
It does feel like it could hold the weight of more.
There's room. Stuff. That story was dense enough for more. A little and more this, to like let it
This
breathe.
Feels like this is should have been an 85 minute movie.
If you could get this thing to 85, we're in best Batman movie territory.
Oh my, yeah, because yeah, it's just too much. It's too much of a good thing. You said that to me. I think
it's too much of a good thing. And but that said, we did mention I think it's sag. It's the there's a sag in the middle. Third act won me back real hard.
Oh yeah, yeah. It ends with a bang. It definitely for sure.
There is so there's a joke here of I don't really quite know what the Joker's plan is. It's something about blowing up Gotham because it's the Lego movie or it's the Lego Batman movie. But we see a whole bunch of villains here, a whole bunch of little callbacks because they're all working together. Catwoman appears briefly. This is Zoe Kravitz in her first of two Catwoman appearances. This is 2017.
Yeah, you're right.
Is this a coincidence?
Because you said to me, is this a coincidence? And I said, it can't be. But 2017, they're still making Ben Affleck Batman movies.
That's right. So, Batman v Superman has just happened. Yeah.
I don't think it is a coincidence. I think it is a coincidence is what I meant to say. Except for that she obviously likes the character of Catwoman, maybe. So...
Yeah, and she's kind of, she's popular. It's like, it all, I think it's cool. It is very funny that most of her lines are just meow, meow, meow.
Yeah.
it does make me laugh every time I catch it in the mix. Just meow, 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 meow. Just a lot of this, I think this is an interesting, as much as this belongs in conversation with the Mask of the Phantasm, it belongs in conversation with the 60s series, right? Of like, how do we approach Batman as a comedy?
Right.
And to take Julie Newmar, who was doing a lot of like perfect type of things, to just distilling it down to just meow, 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 is very funny to me. I think it's interesting the way comedy has kind of evolved. And I think it's demonstrated by meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, me
We of course get the mayor is going in, is going to get dropped down into the middle of this pit of villains and is going to try to talk everybody down. And then it's revealed the mayor rips off the mask. It's Batman. And we get into, it is not an opening credit sequence, but it's effectively doing the same thing a good opening credit sequence does.
Isn't there a musical number kind of?
There is a full, yeah. It's Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy wrote and performed this song with Will Arnett. And I love this bit. I think it's extremely good. This has gone on one or two not nerd related playlists. I just actually like this song. I'm sure I'll be using it as transitions during this one.
Excellent.
There's no credits here. I kind of think it's a strange choice to not just make it a whole opening credit sequence, but it's very good. So the whole kind of gist of the song as it runs is who's the manliest man? Batman. Who can chokehold a bear? Batman. I think the one that makes everybody laugh is who always pays his taxes? Not Batman.
That's funny.
It's good. It's funny.
And of course, we get to see Billy Dee Williams finally gets to play.
Finally. For probably 2 whole minutes. There's a lot of little nods like that clearly show, and I think that's part of what gives this movie some, like, man, it's really good. Is yes, it's making fun of Batman, holy, but there's so much deep love for Batman here.
Yes, it references all the other movies.
There's something to feeling like we're laughing with Batman and not, and the way I've been trying to think of a good place to put this in, and this is as good a place as any. The universe of the Lego Batman movie feels like a child's full understanding of Batman crammed into one thing.
Totally.
The Lego Batman is Ben Affleck's Batman, is Christian Bale's Batman, is the right 60s Batman, is the cartoon Batman. Like, it just, it is. Yes, he's all of them. It's all
encompassing.
Right. Yeah. Which is what Grant Morrison did. Grant Morrison, when he took over Batman in the comics, was like, I'm not separating anything. I'm not dividing anything. Everything you've read about Batman is Batman. He did all of it. He's gone through all of it. And that's what this movie does. There's a joke early on where Alfred is like, oh no, you're in a bad mood. I've seen you in similar moods in 2016.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
2012. all the way back to 1966. And I think that's fun. I think it's fun that this Batman is sort of just our cultural understanding of Batman as a character.
And those images you see from the other movies are so good. So spot on.
So good. So good. All right. I'm heading on to the next pair. Do you have any thoughts on the intro, the general? So the following day, Batman's alter ego, Bruce Wayne, attends the city's winter gala, which is celebrating both the retirement of Police Commissioner Gordon and the ascension of his daughter, Barbara, to replace him.
See, that is like a half hour in, though.
I know. We're missing, I think, a beat here that is really important, is we see Batman go home. And it's like, he's cool fucking, he's Batman. Everybody loves Batman. I believe there's a joke there that makes me laugh of like, Batman, I love you more than my kids.
Yeah, right. Then he goes home and he cooks the lobster, or he reheats it or whatever.
Which, don't get me wrong, is funny. Is funny. Very funny, even. My wife thinks that is one of the top 10 funniest things she has ever seen. It's him reheating lobster in the microwave in the bathrobe with the bat mask makes her lose her absolute shit every single time.
That's adorable.
I don't think she does either, but she's like, that's one of the that's on her list of top 10 jokes in a movie, period.
You know, it's I've gotten some dirty looks from people I've dated before when I'm just laughing hysterically at something that they don't think is funny in a movie, you know? Just like, really?
But it is good. Yeah. But it is good. We get him in his own private movie theater watching Jerry Maguire. When it gets to the "you complete me" scene, he bursts out laughing. But
that laugh is intense. It sounds like a different actor doing the laugh.
Yes. But the important emotional beat here is that Batman, while he's this big rock star out in Gotham City, he goes home to his big gigantic mansion and he's just this little fucking Lego guy and he's alone. Despite Alfred, Alfred is there, but he's alone.
Shades of Michael Keaton, Batman Returns.
Shades of Michael Keaton, Batman.
Sitting alone in that giant study, waiting for the bat signal to come up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We also learn, we got more. I was pleasantly surprised to see like more than I was expecting of, you know, he's in his massive, like the Wayne Manor, like, family room, and there's a picture of him and his family. We don't get, yeah, thank God, a Martha Wayne and Thomas Wayne getting killed scene, but we do see a photo of them and a sort of a very on the nose, don't get me wrong, but it's a broad comedy. We have to get the story beat out of like, you don't want to be a part of a family because you're afraid to be part of a family ever again. And it's good. It's good. And Will Arnett's Batman comically just no, I don't care.
I mean, he has more depth than some of the other Batmans that we've seen so far.
There's significantly more pathos here than the Val Kilmer or George Clooney Batman.
Yeah,
both of which try to lean into that 60s series thing. But like, no, there's as far as like writing a comedy, I feel like this character has as much pathos as you can expect in an animated kids comedy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So we go to, we also get a bit of him at the orphanage. The orphanage is fun. I do like even this very silly character, but like swings by the orphanage, boom, blasts them with Batman merch.
T-shirt guns and shit. Yeah.
That's where, of course, we meet Michael Cera's Dick Grayson. There's a line, I don't know exactly where it is.
It's at the charity thing when he first meets them. Got it.
So we're at the charity. There's a bit in, once again, shades of Michael Keaton here. They're in the limo and Batman's in his tuxedo and Alfred has to remind him to take the Batman mask off to go be Bruce Wayne at this party. And he runs into Michael Cera, who is all excited that Bruce Wayne is here. And it's like maybe pitching like, maybe you'll adopt me. But the joke is Michael Cera saying,
my name is Richard Grayson.
My name is Richard Grayson, but the kids of the orphanage call me Dick. Just a pass. Kids can be cruel.
Yeah.
So Wayne is smitten by Barbara, and this distraction results in him unwittingly agreeing to adopt the enthusiastic orphan Dick Grayson. Wayne is then infuriated by Barbara's plans to restructure the police to function without the need of Batman. The Joker crashes the party with his villain team. The Joker surrenders himself to the police while capturing almost all the villains for the police, except for Harley Quinn. This is a good scene here.
We skipped over the plot point that the Joker is heartbroken that Batman doesn't consider him his greatest villain.
Right.
Batman's like, I don't really care about you.
Right. Joker's like, I'm your number one villain. I'm your greatest nemesis. And Batman's like, I don't care about you. I don't care about anyone. So there's also a good line here when Joker attacks the gala and it was like, I'm turning myself in. We're all turning ourselves in. And some of the villains are like, what? Harley Quinn is played by Jenny Slate, who many may recognize from Parks and Recreation or Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. Very funny. So with so many villains incarcerated, Batman becomes despondent as Gotham no longer requires his crime fighting skills. I think we're just going to kind of make our way through here. If we notice any plot points missing, great. Any jokes that maybe kept like stuck in our brains here. The plot here, as you might guess, is very simple. It's very...
Yeah, I do think this is where we start to lag, is when he has to go get the thing that opens the Phantom Zone.
This is exactly where I took a break. Like, I was like, I'm
I think here. There's a beat too many in there. I think him getting thrown in Arkham or whatever might be a beat too many, because the low point is later, right? When he's like too attached to them, so he sends them away.
Yeah. You're exactly naming the points where I just kind of left for a little bit.
Yeah. And maybe it's not a beat too many, maybe it just takes too long, but
yeah,
area where the problem is.
Yeah, it's so interesting because animation's expensive. So like, it's usually, you know, things like Mask of the Phantasm was 85 minutes because every minute costs fucking money. And it's much cheaper now to animate a movie than it was in the Mask of the Phantasm era. But it's like,
people aren't drawing it by hand.
But like, did this read better? Was the script better than the movie?
I think they maybe just fell in love with all those jokes, because it's the jokes that
make that's also my guess, is that there were a couple of baby jokes that like, we can't cut this, and like, I don't really remember any huge jokes from that point because
get to the stuff quicker, because it really does win you back, or it did for me for the last half hour or whatever.
Yes. If I was fully back on board of like, I think this movie starts, I'm like, this is great. It lulls. I get, which is also, it's with the pace of the jokes. You get tired.
Yes.
You can't. Yes, it's exhausting. You can't sustain that level of joke like the whole time. There is a rhythm to this, and I don't think this has a perfect rhythm of,
you know, and also not for nothing, the part that I start to get reinvested in the movie is when Batman starts to grow, when he starts to be like, oh, I like working with these people. And that's when I'm like, okay, now I'm interested again.
It's so funny to hear you just articulating the exact rhythms I went in and out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's in stasis for a long fucking chunk there in the middle.
Yes. Yes. God damn. This is a great 85 minute movie.
Yes, totally.
I think this is an all timer at 85 minutes.
Release the Miller cut. Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, I think they had
where's Topher Grace?
Yeah.
Do his cut.
Yeah. It's why edit down Star Wars into a not great cut when I think this movie's begging for 85 fucking minutes. It's an hour 40. It's also funny, after Batman v Superman, seeing this was an hour 45, I was like, great.
Do you think Topher Grace secretly has a Spider-Man 3 cut where he's not in it?
That'd be great.
I'm just kidding. He's not the problem with that movie.
No. Honestly, it's we'll talk about Spider-Man someday. That's inevitable. Rewatching Spider-Man 3 was funny. Spider-Man 1, I think, is very good. Spider-Man 2, my wife and I specifically only refer to as perfect movie Spider-Man 2.
It's really fucking good.
I think it is in the pantheon of perfect movies, Spider-Man 2.
It's certainly top three greatest superhero movies, arguably number one, depending on
absolutely US. Absolutely, no one's crazy if they say number one
right
for superhero movie. Spider-Man 3 is not good. It's not good, but scene to scene, it is not bad.
No, yeah, there's a lot to like about that movie. Every time I watch it, I get like an hour in and I'm like, this is good. What do I find?
Yes.
And then it just like crumbles under the weight of a thousand plot lines and all that shit. But it's too much.
You're exactly
talent.
Right. That hour mark, I'm like, what the fuck was my problem? This is very good.
This is great. Yeah, I'm having fun. But it's very talented people. So it's not terrible. Not at all.
Right. I feel like our standards were higher back then.
Oh, man. No joke.
Oh, man. Okay. Wayne is smitten by Barbara. Nope. I said that already. Okay. With so many villains incarcerated, Batman. Nope. I said all of it. We're on to the next paragraph, bud. Okay. Suspecting that the Joker is up to no good, Batman plans to seal Superman's Phantom Zone projector, a device that can banish anyone to the Phantom Zone, which houses some of the most dangerous criminals in the Lego multiverse, only for Alfred to intervene and advise him to take care of Dick.
It's Phantom Zone. Seeing the I mean, I assume it's all WB owned properties, except for like they have some where they don't say what they are, like the shark from Jaws is there, but they don't say it. He doesn't have a name, it's just a shark.
I did not put that together, dude.
There's a velociraptor,
yes,
but they don't say, you have to say it,
right? But right. It's good a time as any. It's more in the third act. I get it. Throw all of this shit in that you have. And it also doesn't feel entirely out of the realm, right? Of, I had Raphael, I had Batman. Raphael and Batman went on adventures all the time.
Yes.
So it's not out of the realm of like a kid's toy and everything all interacting. It's one step too cynical corporate synergy for me in like otherwise I think a movie that doesn't need more cynical corporate synergy.
But there's that thing you like from that other thing, Brian.
In my 85 minute cut, it's just Batman villains, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mind the Phantom Zone and like super other DC comics things. That's fine. That feels cohesive enough to me. But in my perfect cut, we don't get out of Batman.
Yeah, but then who are all the Batman villains going to help team up against?
That's very true.
Maybe Sauron or Saruman.
Man, that's a good point. That's a really good point. It is script-wise, like they do all have to team up. It's not perfect. It's not a perfect solution.
But, this would require a rewrite. This is not an edit.
This is a full rewrite. This is a full philosophical problem. You're right. You are right. It's not that bad because, like I said, it does make sense. But I guess it seems to bother you less than it bothers me. There was a ad streaming with ads is becoming more popular. Your Tubis, your Pluto TVs, which you and I are fans of. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with ads if your service is otherwise pretty good.
Tubi, I'm begging you, give us some money. We'll do a Tubi.
Give us some
podcast.
Money, Tubi. We are willing to be literal priests of your cult. we
will only talk about Tubi movies. I use Tubi more than I use the stuff I pay for.
Tubi, if you want to give us money to do a Tubi podcast, we are ready to go. We have one in the bank. We're ready to go. Say yes. Once that check clears, an episode will be up.
Yeah, seriously. I will quit my job and do a Tubi podcast right now.
I don't think the question is would we do it, it's who would listen to it.
Yeah. Tens of people would listen to it.
Tens! Baker's dozens! So the general philosophy, and I don't think it's bad, but the philosophy around ads in a streaming service is, how many can we show you before you want to bail? Before you're like, this is too many,
right,
and I don't want to watch it anymore. So finding the number of ads you are willing to watch, and then can we show you one more? And that's how the corporate synergy in this movie feels to me. Of like, it's Lego, right, it's Batman. Can we throw fucking like Sauron in there too?
We bit off a little bit more. Do you think this was a corporate mandate, or do you think it was like, we have all these fun toys we can play with here?
That's a great question. I don't know. Interesting question.
It is in keeping with the sort of idea of, this is kids playing with toys, right?
Right. And like, it's all, and it does fit with like the Lego movie of like, they Channing Tatum is Superman here for a moment. He's in the Lego movie. They go to the Fortress of Solitude. They have a whole council there where like the Ninja Turtles are, and all all the sort of Lego toys are around, and they're all talking about how they're going to save the day. So it all fits and works, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a curmudgeon. So Batman initially refuses to take an extra hand in taking care of the child he's adopted. So Alfred allows Dick to enter the Batcave. Alfred, stop!
You have a problem, Alfred.
Is this the last time? I think this is the last time.
You know who never let anyone in the Batcave? Michael Caine.
Michael Caine never let anybody into the Batcave. He wouldn't slip up like that at all.
No, absolutely not. I think this is kind of a nod to it, right?
Definitely. So appearing as Batman before Dick, Batman states that he is also adopting Dick and fosters Dick as Robin to help in his scheme. It is funny before they're about to go out, and Batman realizes there is they have to go to the Fortress of Solitude to steal the Phantom Zone thinger. And really, it's a small passage that someone not as buff as Batman can only get through. And he realizes that Dick would be able to do that for him. Yes. But he doesn't want to reveal that he is Bruce Wayne. So he is like, oh, Bruce and I have decided to share custody of you.
Yeah, Bruno.
Yeah. It's, you can see here the element of that is, I think, is in Phil and Lord movies, where I think a lot of dialogue was recorded before any animation was done. And I think there was a lot of freedom to riff around in that. And it's fun. And that's where I think maybe also a lot of the pacing issues kind of come in.
Probably.
I'm willing to bet a lot of it stems from very broad. The thing that got Lord and Miller fired from Solo, I think, happened.
Yeah. You know, I've only seen it the one time, but that is kind of how I felt with 22 Jump Street. Was like, we're riffing a little too much, right?
I think it's a lot of riffing. I have not looked at 22 Jump Street in a critical eye in a long time, but I'm willing to bet it's a similar thing. I'll say I like 22 Jump Street. I've seen 21 Jump Street many, 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 many more times. They're not necessarily a duo in my watching.
Yes,
know?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so Batman and Robin recover the projector from the Fortress of Solitude. It's important to note Channing Tatum returns as Superman. There's a one joke here, callback to the Lego movie. Jonah Hill is Green Lantern. And Green Lantern wants to hang out with Superman, and Superman's not into it. It's a fun, you know, 21 Jump Street callback of them, you know. So the Batman discovers that the Justice League is hanging out without him. Yep, they're like, oh, you're invited.
57th anniversary or something.
Right. So my understanding, this seems like a good spot to talk about. There was going to be a Lego Batman 2. It, or actually what would have been the Lego Super Friends. Dan Harmon wrote the screenplay, Dan Harmon of Community, Rick and Morty, or at least was a co-writer on, and it's apparently extremely, extremely good, which is frustrating because now it's just lost. It's Warner Brothers is no, Universal bought Lego. So Lego is no longer associated with Warner Brothers. So Warner Brothers characters are no longer accessible to the Lego franchise. So they bought, which means,
so did they buy just the movie rights to Lego or Lego in general? Must be just
the movie.
I don't
know. That probably makes sense.
Can't wait. But for either the way, Transformers Lego movie.
Right, right.
Oh no, it's Paramount. Sorry, what's your Fast and Furious?
Fast Lego and Furious. Movie. You have Fast and Furious.
Maybe we'll get a Jaws Lego thing.
And
that.
The Dark Universe.
And Backdraft.
Yeah, that's it.
What else? Yeah. Backdraft Lego movie.
Yeah. So Warner Brothers properties are no longer on the table, which means the movie was scrapped. But Dan Harmon's script, which, God, if anyone has it, I'd fucking love to read it.
I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's good.
I'm sure it's good. Apparently focused a lot on Batman getting good with the Justice League again, which I bet would have been a lot of fun.
I'm ready for the Community movie. Give it to me.
Give it to me.
It's like the guy in the Dark Knight. Give it to me.
Have you just ran? Have you seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the Amazon Prime?
No, I haven't.
Show? Really good. Really good.
I'm sure it is. Talented.
Donald
people.
Glover created, I believe, is, you know, executive producer on it and is starring. Really, really good. I'm not super great at like watching or binging TV shows, so I have an agreement with my wife that Sunday nights I will watch one episode of a show. And Mr. and Mrs. Smith is we're currently making our way through. We watch one episode on Sunday nights. Really, really good. I look forward to it on Sunday nights. So
everyone I know hates me because they're like, you should watch this show. And I'm like, I mostly just watch movies. And they're like, what the fuck? It's who watches movies? What's wrong with you?
Movies are better and TV is bad. it's not the same. It's not the same.
No, it's a different art form.
It's a different art form. Yeah. That's the thing. They're not. So the fact that I like to watch movies does not mean I'm going to like that big, long TV show. And in fact, I'm like, this is too long. Why is it so long?
Right. Yeah. I do like something being contained and having an end, mm-hmm. and not designed to not have closure for years and years and years. Yeah, I say this as a person who has loved many TV shows, even ones that do that thing I just complained about.
Which, that said, I think the shows I love the most still have a very strong episode structure.
Yes.
And yep. Like, not the Netflix, the streaming, where we're trying to trick you into like binge watching this. I do want an episode to feel like a satisfying hour of television or a satisfying 30 minutes of television. I want you to be able to turn it off right here. And Netflix is like, why would we want you to do that?
No, yeah, we want you to be like a drug addict who has to keep going. Yeah.
Which doesn't work on me. I get tired and I stop caring.
Yeah.
I'm immune to this drug, I guess.
Well, it's a lot easier to recognize wheel spinning when I don't get any closure.
Yes, that's exactly it. Okay, so Batman and Robin recover the projection from the Fortress of Solitude, break into Arkham Asylum, and successfully send the Joker to the Phantom Zone. Suspecting that the Joker wanted to be sent there, Barbara locks up Batman and locks up Batman and Robin. There are four paragraphs left of this wiki, and I don't
just power through. How. Just go ahead. I won't.
Yeah, great.
Go.
While the projector is being seized as evidence, Harley steals it back as part of Joker's plan and frees him, allowing him to return to Gotham with all of the multiverse's villains he had recruited in the Phantom Zone, including Sauron, who informs the Joker that Batman is Bruce Wayne, which the latter mistakes the two as being roommates. The criminals attack Gotham and take over Wayne Island. Realizing that Gotham does not need Batman after all, Barbara releases Batman and Robin and teams up with them and Alfred to stop the new threat. Although his teammates achieve some success in fighting the multiverse's villains, Batman forcibly sends them away and confronts the Joker alone, fearing that he might lose them just like he lost his parents.
This is just a random thing I just thought of. I really love how massive Wayne Manor and the Batcave are in this.
It's great. I love it.
I love the idea of Wayne Manor like Dracula's castle, like on top of this mountain.
Yes.
That's how I always picture it. I love that.
Yes. Which A works very well for the character in general in the larger meta conversation we've been having, and also works specifically in this movie to articulate his loneliness and he's on literally an island with a massive castle by himself.
Isn't it kind of similar, obviously not as extreme, but in the animated series, isn't it kind of that on top of
I remember like kind of cliff. Like cliff facey.
Love it.
God, the animated series is good. Okay, so believing that Batman is incapable of changing his ways, the Joker sends him to the Phantom Zone before stealing the Batcave stash of confiscated bombs to destroy Gotham. Meanwhile, Phyllis, the Phantom Zone's gatekeeper, shows Batman how he has mistreated Dick, Alfred, Barbara, and the Joker. Ellie Kemper is Phyllis here, who you might recognize from The Office. I really like this scene. I think it's really good. Now, granted, don't get me wrong, it's to camera, like, make an emotional change. But it's A, a kid's movie, and B, it works. Performances here are really good. Phyllis, played by Ellie Kemper, asks Batman, you know, kind of scans Batman for his badness, and it's just like, oh, you're a bad guy. And Batman,
I'm on board at this point in the movie. I'm back on board.
Agreed. I think that last paragraph is where I maybe dipped. But I think this scene here, Ellie Kemper brings a certain naturalism to her read here that sells the emotion of the scene very well for me. Mm-hmm. I do believe in this very goofy Lego minifig Batman and Will Arnett's like very goofy performance that like he is like, what do you mean? I'm not the bad guy. I'm the good guy. Like, no. Oh, no. I treat all my friends really shitty. I buy it. I think it's really good. Everything done very effectively.
Yeah. Smart. Smart writing.
Batman accepts his greatest fear, being part of a family. I believe he says earlier that his greatest fear is clown snakes, which is fine.
It'll come back later.
Yeah. Batman's greatest fear is being part of a family and decides to change. Batman's teammates return to the fight to help him, but are endangered themselves. Batman makes a deal with Phyllis to temporarily return to Gotham to retrieve the zone's escaped prisoners. There's a bit of, hey, man, let me out. Let me out. I'll get all the prisoners back into the Phantom Zone. To which Phyllis is like, all right, but I want all of them. Implying.
Including you.
Batman arrives in time to save his teammates. It's a great, I don't exactly remember how that sequence goes, but I do feel like it's a cool Batman's back, baby.
Oh yeah. Yep.
He apologizes.
Barbara gets the Batgirl suit.
Right. He apologizes to them for leaving them and requesting their help to stop the Joker. They agree, with Barbara taking on the Batgirl costume. It's T-shirt cannons are a couple of different things, like a pink outfit. And she's like, "Do you have anything cool?" I was like, "The Batgirl one." She's like, "This is good. Can I call you Batboy?" And they just leave it at that. Like, they're already on to the next joke.
Yeah.
Batgirl has a certain, you know, having been invented in the 60s, has a certain like cultural pathos of like Batgirl, real superhero, like superhero we recognize. If in 2024 they introduced Batgirl, we'd be like, what the fuck? You can't do that.
Dude, speaking of DC animated, did you see that Killing Joke one?
I am familiar with it. I have not seen the whole movie.
It's rough.
Yeah. And that's Bruce Timm. That's Batman the Animated Series. He did it. And it's a little were you gross already, the whole time?
That comic is already really gross and fucked up. And they just added another random gross wrinkle they didn't have to.
Right. And that's that... And that's that Barbara Gordon Batgirl, kind of implied to be the Barbara Gordon Batgirl we know from the animated series. It's not like this where we've made Barbara Gordon an adult, you know?
It's Kevin Conroy doing the voice.
No, it's heavily implied. This movie's heavily implied to be kind of, it's not officially Batman the Animated Series, but like, it's heavily implied to invoke it.
And Barbara Gordon and Batman fuck in this
they
cartoon.
Fuck, and it's gross. It's
and
gross.
Then Batman
Tim,
like
you always
does
gross?
A does a Batman disappearing act.
And it's a stupid fucking like it's for adults and like Batgirl like lifts up the fucking like we apparently she wears like a sexy bra under her fucking Batgirl costume. And, like,
it was cringe, as the kids say. Cringe.
Fucking. It's cringy. I haven't seen the whole. Alan Moore, who wrote The Killing Joke, which is one of those like landmark comics, is largely like, it's a stupid, bad comic. Don't read it.
Right.
It was edgy for the sake of being edgy because they wanted something edgy. So I did it so I can get paid. And so as much as everyone's like, you know, Alan Moore, I think, is a very interesting man.
Look up the word curmudgeon in the dictionary and you might see a picture of Alan Moore.
But I do think it's interesting how he's largely revered as brilliant. And I do think he is, but it's the amount of stuff you're like, Alan Moore wrote this, it's brilliant. It's like, I hated that. I did that for a fucking paycheck. I don't think that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you ask like Led Zeppelin what they think about Stairway to Heaven. They're like, eh.
Right. Right.
It's kind of silly.
Right. God, that song fucking rules.
Yeah. Good song. Agreed.
Yeah, good song. Good song. Our hot take here on this podcast. You heard it here. Stairway to Heaven.
What's that? Keith, good, but not as good as Batman. Shut the fuck up.
I'll fucking kill you. I will fucking kill you, Keith. You're gonna fucking die tonight, Keith.
Man.
So with the help of Joker's former team, who felt neglected by Joker when he refused to break him out of Arkham, Batman and his team defeat the escaped multiverse's villains and send them back into the Phantom Zone. Any notable, there's Sauron, there's Voldemort from Harry Potter. I'll look down on the cast later, find out who Voldemort was. Okay, so however, the Joker's bombs detonate, causing Gotham to tear apart at the plates below the city. Batman convinces Joker to help him by telling him he gives him purpose to be the hero he is. And with the help of every civilian and villain, they manage to save Gotham, chain linking themselves together to reattach the plates. It's funny. It's a very Lego thing of just like the literal city's falling apart. And then they just snap the city back together and it's all good. Yep. And it's a very quick cut and it's very funny. There's a bit. So they all, I do enjoy when the movie embraces, in a lot of ways, this movie could just be a funny animated Batman movie. So I really enjoy when they lean into the fact that they are Legos. In the movie. Yes. And so like Robin literally removes his hair so that Batman can connect his feet to Robin's head, and they build a tower of people and can connect the city back together. And then Batman asks Joker, like, how are your abs?
Yeah, and they have to do a crunch.
You know, more flab than ab. It's good. It's good. So in the aftermath, Batman reveals to Dick that he is Wayne in disguise, then goes to return to the Phantom Zone to face the consequences of his earlier behavior. Phyllis prevents Batman from entering the Phantom Zone after realizing he is a hero and seeing how he changed to save everyone. Afterward, Batman gives Joker and the rest of the villains a head start, knowing they will be no match for the Bat family. It's good. It's real good. And there's a song here.
You know,
I don't think this is technically a tie-in song, right? It's written very specifically for the movie. But the song is called Friends Are Family. And my one-year-old daughter fucking loved it. Abs dancing, drumming on the little coffee table. I'm like, this is the best song in the goddamn world. We watched it three times. Because, man, it's fucking cute. And my kid is cute. So
that's awesome. That's very cute. I was just going to say, this is, we'll probably have to do Best Robin as a category. We'll definitely have to do Best Robin as a category.
Michael Cera's not out of the picture.
Sorry, Keith, he says there's a Robin costume in Batman v Superman. Dude, shut the fuck up.
That's a mannequin.
Up.
That's Keith, not a person. There's no one.
Keith, the fuck Keith, up.
Keith, do you want to die?
Why does Batman keep that thing? That's a weird move in Batman v Superman. Why is he keeping dead Robin's costume?
That's because you want to like mourn at it. Well, because Zach, how else do we know that he's sad about it?
He's got a brood. He wants to brood.
Yeah. He wants to brood. Not like on camera. And don't get me wrong, this has nothing meaningfully to do with the movie. But yeah. You see, it's worth acknowledging that comics are real. The comics are real.
Keith wants to say something, but I have duct taped his mouth shut currently. So.
Hector Elizondo is James Gordon. We love Hector in our house because we're big. What's his fucking name? We can't be that big of a fan if we can't remember his name. Who directed Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve and created Happy Days?
Oh my god, Gary Marshall.
Gary Marshall. Hector Elizondo is in all of his movies, so we're big fans of. Every time we see Hector, it's just Hector. He's also in Monk. Mariah Carey is Mayor McCaskill, the mayor of Gotham. An early report was that Mariah Carey was James Gordon, and people were very confused at that. But no, she was the mayor. Here's a funny bit.
I'm gonna write an email. I'm so upset.
Yeah, an actress named Lauren White, who I'm not familiar with, doesn't have a Wikipedia link here, but is credited as Chief O'Hara, which is our first Chief O'Hara reference since 1966.
Oh, the TV show. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
this is the first time O'Hara has shown up. Let's see here. Gosh darn. Adam Devine is the Flash. I don't have Voldemort. I thought for sure he would show up. Siri, the actual Apple device Siri, is computer.
That's funny. Conan O'Brien is the Riddler.
Yes. Ricky Lindholm of Garfunkel and Oates is Poison Ivy. Jason Mantzoukas is the Scarecrow. Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman. Just going meow, 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 meow. Kate Micucci is Clayface. Doug Benson is Bane, doing a full just Tom Hardy joke.
You know what's funny is that's now Bane's voice.
That's just Bane's voice now. You're right.
Because in Harley Quinn, he's a major character and he talks like that too.
Oh, funny. Yeah. Yeah. That's just what it is now. Gosh darn. Jermaine Clement is Sauron. Eddie Izzard is Lord Voldemort.
Ah. It's funny they got all these big people to do like maybe two lines. Like you can barely hear it.
I don't really know how something like that works. Are they calling people in specifically? Is it just the casting director hitting up everyone they know?
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. Are there like 2 hours of Conan O'Brien takes that?
Yeah, right. Oh God, what I'd kill. I think overall, this is the least we have to say about a movie as far as its like place in cinema has to go. I think it was a breath of fresh air. It was a nice change of pace in this. It was one of the more pleasant ones to watch.
Yes.
It's a good time. I don't think it's a great movie. I don't think it's a game changer. I just think it's very good at what it had to do. And what it had to do was be pretty funny.
Give me the 80-minute cut. Good, Brian. Give me the Miller cut.
Give me the Miller cut. I do think even without, I have some like larger rewrites I would love to do. Oh God, you could make this thing 85 minutes and it would fucking soar. It was well reviewed. It was very successful and made a lot of money. And like we mentioned earlier, a sequel was going to happen. It was just tied up in fucking these corporate team ups like this just don't always work out. Like things change. And if anyone has that Dan Harmon script, I won't pay money for it, but I will suck a dick.
Is that any specific dicks in mind, or are you open to?
I'll give those details in the email.
Keith wants to know if you'll suck his dick. Keith,
send me Keith. Do you have it? Do you have? You have to prove you have it. I need to see 3 pages that you have it.
Send it. Have to be three pages random here. Pages. They can't just be the three at the beginning.
That's it. That's it. Uh, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. That might be one of the higher Batmans overall. I think.
Oh yeah.
Though that might not actually be true. I do wonder.
Definitely.
And so I guess that's it for us this week. Thank you everybody for listening.
I'm actually looking forward to next week, Brian. Even though it's back into kind of Snyderverse, it's the Whedon cut.
This is the shortest one we'll have watched so far.
It's significantly breezy and fun. Than the previous installment.
Yes. So we are doing Justice League, which we're now faltering a little bit into the movies Batman is the headliner of.
He is probably the main character of that first Justice League movie.
I agree.
Danny Ocean, right?
I don't think we can't not do it. It's not right to not do it. We can't have done Batman v Superman to not do it. Yeah. Justice League, the Whedon cut, and Justice League, the Zack Snyder cut are different enough movies that they will be different episodes.
I mean, the Snyder cut might be 6 episodes.
The Snyder cut, it's fully possible it might be 6 episodes. It also breaks up so episodically, we could approach it. We'll talk about it.
That's true,
God. Oh, God. It's 4 hours and it has episodes.
It's a mini series.
Zach, if it's broken up into episodes in the movie. If they had just released it in episodes, we wouldn't have to do it.
Because it wouldn't have counted. Yeah. It was in a theater, one theater somewhere, I think, at some point.
It wouldn't have counted.
In black and white or whatever.
Justice is great. So I recently put the RSS feed for this podcast on YouTube Podcasts, which I learned about maybe a little too late. So these are auto posting to YouTube now, which I was lazy about doing before. If you want to like comment on a specific thing we've talked about, or like maybe start some sort of dialogue with us, the YouTube is a great place to do that. We'd love to, I don't know, hear from you in some capacity. I will also say there is one person who's been liking every episode, giving a thumbs up, our one like. Whoever you are a hero. What I want to know is, and I'm not blasting you, I'm not even saying you're wrong, who's the one guy who disliked?
Oh, someone disliked?
Someone disliked. Keith? It was on an episode from a while ago. And I want to know if, because I think most people, don't get me wrong, who have been served the podcast, listened to it for a second and went, nope, and just bail.
Right, yeah.
This person was like, I do not like this.
Now, was this a episode where we were talking about Smallville or
this Batman? Is a Batman episode. This was okay. Our Mask of the Phantasm episode. Someone disliked that episode.
Ooh, so Keith is my number one suspect right now.
That is currently. If you're Keith,
he's shaking.
I would
his
love
head.
To just. I'm not mad at you. I'm not even saying you're wrong. I would love to know what inspired the hate in your heart. To not just not listen to it, to go like, no, I need my displeasure to be voiced. I want you to know I respect you more than I respect my parents. I love it. I love it for you. Let's see. We have a Discord. We have... That's it. There's a link in the description. You know the drill. A rating on Spotify, a rating on Apple Podcasts, a review on Apple Podcasts are all very helpful. I know it's a lot to ask. I've never done it. I've never reviewed a podcast, so it's ridiculous for me to ask you, but it does tangibly help the show, and we appreciate it. I think that's the whole gist here. Zach, do you have a question for Batman?
I don't, but Keith wanted me to ask. Keith wanted me to ask him: is Batman v Superman the best Batman movie, or just the best movie ever made?
Fucking hell! Don't answer that, Batman. Don't answer that, Batman. Don't do it.